Siempre Pa'lante presents The Aguacate Chronicles. Aguacate, dímelo. Aguacate, dímelo. Hola, mi gente. Welcome to The Aguacate Chronicles. I'm your host, Hirado Luis Alvarez. Gracias for listening. Last episode, Renata and I touched on the importance of a balanced diet and food from the source minus the preservatives. Keep in mind, it's good to live a little and have some pork chops and chicharrones. I mean, who doesn't like a good chuleta? I know I do. There's nothing wrong with some fried food. All in moderation. We also left you dreaming of arepas. Whether you like to have them filled with chicken, cheese, meat, and of course, aguacate. It's all good. On the menu for this episode, we got plátanos, gallo pinto, arroz, harina, y huevo frito. Plantains, rice and beans, cornmeal, and fried eggs. Hay hambre, mi gente. You will hear audio clips featuring creative director of Somos Arte, graphic novelist, philanthropist, creator of Labor Inqueña, Edgardo Miranda Rodriguez, co-founder of Sandwich de Miami, Daniel Figueredo, and founder of Mosaic Strategies, Carolina Espinal. There's a lot to unpack here, mi gente, so cógelo con take it easy, one bite at a time with your favorite beverage. Buen provecho, enjoy the show. Next up, episode 4, we got mi hermano Edgardo Miranda Rodriguez. Episode was called Representation Matters. Edgardo is the creative director of Somos Arte, award-winning graphic novelist, philanthropist, and creator of Labor Inqueña. He is an Eisner's Humanitarian Award winning. His benefit anthology, and then let me go back here, winning this Eisner Award, and he has been able to do so many amazing things for Puerto Rico. He helped raise more than $200,000 for microgrants, and they were awarded to grassroots nonprofits in Puerto Rico via Labor Inqueña Grants Program. You've heard me say Labor Inqueña throughout all my episodes. I'm always plugging Edgardo. He's a good friend. And what I really love about Labor Inqueña, this is the first Afro-Latina superhero in the whole comic book world. And just but the stories are very cultural, and they really, really capture what it says, representation matters. It captures that and encapsulates that. Let's hear his clip. I think you're going to really enjoy this one, Renata.
It still is plátano, plátano verde or plátano maduro. You know, it's still there. If it's not to make tostones or to just fry them amarillo, I like to call them the canoas de casicas. I take the yellow plátanos and bake them, slice it down the middle, and I put like impossible meat in the middle, some vegans. If it's making mofongo or chopping them up as part of the larger like sancocho, then I give a lot of credit to my wife, Kyung, because Kyung, when she and I first came together as a couple, just dating, she said, I want you to learn something new to cook. Learn how to cook a few dishes like every month. I learned multiple dishes, but it gave me a sense of comfort in the kitchen that I was able to evolve many of the main staples that I do. Pero plátanos is a recurring thing. And my sons love tostones. That's like the go-to. And it's super simple. As far back as when I was like in my early 20s, when my tia Lily taught me how to make tostones, to this day, todavía seguimos con los tostones. So that's a staple in our house. We're a Coricua family, a Korean Puerto Rican family, Coricuas. And I can't take this moment without pointing out, unfortunately, one of the realities of Puerto Rico's living under economic crisis, particularly even under the Jones Act, this act that was created to control trade. A plátano in Puerto Rico was practically almost a dollar, like 85 cents to get like a plátano. And like I was at Whole Foods, they cost like 50 cents. And I'm sure if you go to C-Town, they're even cheaper. It's something that's close to me because I enjoy eating plátanos. And when I was younger, I'll share this, when I lived in San Lorenzo, to make a little bit of money, I used to work on a plantation and I would cut down plátano trees. Because once the plátanos were cut off, you had to literally like cut down all the trees again so that they could grow up, because the trees were literally like soft, like just giant plants. So like with a mocho, which is like a shorter machete, and one strong swipe, you could slice the whole thing down. But you had to clear like the entire plantation, fields and fields and fields of it. So I used to do that. So it's interesting, because talking about plátanos, I just made that connection and that memory triggered of the plátano. So it's reflective of, unfortunately, the economic crisis that Puerto Rico continues to exist under, being a colony of the United States, where the majority of the produce in Puerto Rico is not even produced in Puerto Rico, but it's still a part of a moment of acknowledging and celebrating our identity and culture.
He's talking about plátanos. Los maduros, los verdes, los tostones, canoas de caciques, cacique. And yeah, pretty cool. And then like little recipes. The cool thing I've noticed about this, some of the guests share their recipe within the clip. And it's like, I'm over here like writing it down on the side. Like, wow, I gotta try this. What was your take on this, Renata? Because it was a lot of really cool things he spoke about here.
Oh my gosh, it's perfect. It's so simple. It's such a simple thing. Bananas, plátanos. You can make chips out of this thing. You can make as base. Now they have like the biomasa thing, which is this movement. You're trying to eat healthy when you cook the whole plátanos with the skin and all, and then you make a paste out of that and it's supposed to be really healthy for you. I mean, it's undeniable, a simple but essential ingredient. The banana, the plátanos, the maduros, it's just the cherry on top. I mean, you're eating that savory dish, and then you have the little brown fried little banana that is sweet and bring, I mean, I can go on forever on this because it is a key ingredient. I even made a dish for you guys once, which was a ceviche. And instead of eating the regular spoon, we did chips of green plátanos with some zest of lemon and lime and coarse salt to sprinkle. You can make it a lot with it.
Yes. Oh, you got to make it again. That's it. That was, mi gente, that was one of my favorite dishes that Renata made. It was so refreshing, but the flavors were just, they complemented each other so well. I mean, she's made some amazing dishes for us over the years. That was one of my favorites. Just because it's, again, so simple, but it's the right balance. And the chips, you know, and some folks call plantain chips, right? We, in Spanish, it's charritas, chifle, mariquitas. There's different cultures call it differently. But yes, that was one of my favorites. It's really cool how he was talking about how he opens up the yellow plantains, bakes it, and then does some impossible meat, makes it kind of like a vegan style. And then, of course, mofongo, sancocho. I mean, those are, if you haven't had mofongo, mi gente, I'm not going to get into specifics on some of this stuff because I want you to be curious, stay curious, Google, ask a friend, and venture out and try some of these foods and dishes. And also ask for the recipe. Ask for if your friend is from Puerto Rico, Puerto Rican descent. Ask them, hey, do you have a recipe for mofongo, sancocho? And try it. So, yeah. Big shout out to the Mighty Mirandas. And I love what he said, coricuas. Like how he blends, it's beautiful how he blends the cultures in his household. I love it. You know, they're really, really inspiring man, just what he's doing to help the Puerto Rican community and the things he continues to do. And we even got a little history about he worked on a plantation cutting down platano trees, right?
Hard work.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Exactly. Next up, episode 5, Preserving La Tradición, featuring my man Danny Figueredo. Danny y Rosa are the founders of Sandwich de Miami. This is the best Cuban sandwich, not just in Miami, but the entire planet. Seriously, I've had hundreds of Cuban sandwiches by now. And going back to my childhood, this taps in to those vibes of what a Cuban sandwich should be. Anytime I have family, friends, acquaintances from work, I tell them, go to Sandwich de Miami. I'm always promoting Sandwich de Miami because it is the best Cuban sandwich on the planet. But they also have other things. They have plantain fries. They have these shakes. The shakes are just to die for. But you want to learn more about it? When you go to Miami, go Calle Ocho, you know, Sandwich de Miami.
To all my potential sponsors, here's another opportunity for This Was Brought to You By. Insert your brand name here. Did you know that plátanos, plantains, they're a fruit? See, there are three main types, green, yellow, and black. Green plátanos are the most starchy and have a firm texture. They are often used for mofongo, mangú, tostones, and plantain chips. Yellow plátanos are slightly sweeter than the green plátanos and have a softer texture. Fried, baked, or stuffed with queso, beef, and chicken. You can't go wrong. Maduros, anyone? You know I want some. Black plátanos are the sweetest and most ripe of the three types. In addition to being fried and baked, you can definitely get creative with your desserts such as plantain pudding, pie, and ice cream. You get the point. Now that you're inspired, go support your local bodega and buy some plátanos. Tell them Giraldo sent you. Now back to the show.
It's interesting, this clip. So when you hear the clip heading out there, you're going to be like, okay, we went from Cuban sandwiches. And when you hear this clip, you're going to go, interesting. This is very interesting.
Arroz, harina, y un huevo. That's it. That's made on me, bro. That was it. Rice and egg and harina, cornmeal. That was it, bro. We got that.
Simplicity again. The simple things, they will stick to you. That you create that memory. Marina, eggs, come on. It's a full meal right there.
And not expensive. It's healthy because it's nutritious. It has, you know, the different things you need to sustain so you're full. Like I said, we were talking about Cuban sandwiches, sandwich, and we transfer into that. And it was, that episode was really cool because we were sharing a little bit about his upbringing, his family and culture. That's something that, you know, a lot of households growing up, Latino households, and you're familiar with those recipes, right? With that recipe or those ingredients.
Precisely.
Yeah. I mean, and if you try it, it's so delicious. I mean, I don't recommend you eat this all the time. Moderation, but at times that was needed to be in all the time because of, you know, people are making ends meet, people are working hard, paying the bills, and these are nutritious ingredients that really, I mean, to me, it's like I've tried this countless times. I haven't had it in a while, and this combination. But yeah, I mean, rice, flour, cornmeal, egg, you mix that up, you got yourself a meal. And is there something like that in Brazil that...
Absolutely.
That kind of, is it the same or is it like called differently?
No, it is the same. The only difference that might be, because we have two kinds of flours. You have a lot, the corn one, But the yuca flour, it's queen in Brazil because it's so abundant. So the farinha, which is also a farinha, it's made with yuca, toasted or raw. That, it goes with everything. You know, like that commercial that the little old lady over here in America, oh, that goes with everything. That's precisely what it is, a farinha. It goes with everything back there. So it is a simple dish. I do remember being younger and eating that. You know, sometimes you're not going to have the meat. You know, you got to keep it simple, but it was that reality, you know? I mean, at least for me, my experience was. And again, I was raised in a house with a lot of kids, and sometimes the grandmother needs to send the kids to school, and that was the meal. Yes, it hits home.
It does. And to me, you say yuca. I mean, yuca, that's another favorite. I know we haven't heard it. I had to plug yuca. Yuca.
What?
Needs that love.
Tapioca. It's tapioca, yuca flour, the yuca itself steamed, the yuca as part of, as base instead of potatoes for soups. You name it. It is the most democratic ingredient that is. I mean, you can do it all with it. Even with the leaves in Brazil, the northern part of Brazil, they use a lot of yuca too, but they use it in a different level. They use the leaves of the plant itself to make a specific dish, like it's a fish dish. And there's some sort of tingling sensation that creates when they use with that that particular part of yuca. The whole thing. Nothing goes waste. That is my favorite ingredient for sure. The most democratic one all across from Africa, Southern Africa, because we did have a lot of that influence back in Brazil. The natives itself, you know, a lot of tribus still use the yuca as main base source of income quality over there because they can produce and bring that to make some sort of income source back in Brazil. It's a huge thing. So, yeah, it hits home.
Yuca. We start with, we started with Cuban sandwiches. We went into some arroz, harina, huevo, you know, the rice flour, cornmeal, egg, and now we finish it off with yuca. Next up, this episode, episode 7, leading by example through cultura and inclusion. My good friend Carolina Espinal is Latina, is from not just Nicaragua, but La República Dominicana. She's the founder and CEO of Mosaic Strategies. She's an advocate for inclusion as a catalyst for building diversity and equity in organizational culture. She's also a senior advisor to public and private sector leaders and organizations. She delivers this dynamic experience in diversity, equity, and inclusion, public affairs, and reputation management. She is a poderista. She is no joke. Carolina, definitely need to catch up. I know you're doing a lot of amazing things. And we want to hear about your favorite aguacate moment. So let's hear it.
Since my mother was the senior chef, it was what we call gallo pinto. And gallo pinto is basically rice and beans. I mean, every country calls it congri, moro, con cristiano. But for us, it's gallo pinto. And gallo pinto for a traditional Nicaraguan breakfast, let's just say like a brunch, digamos un brunch en mi casa. Gallo pinto, huevo frito, queso frito or cuajada, which is like a softer cheese, maduro, and aguacate. Completo. That was like el desayuno completo. The funny thing was, which I didn't even know, it was same meal, substitute the huevo frito with pollo, chicharrón, or whatever, and it was dinner.
Wow. And ladies and gentlemen, so you know that that noise is not her stomach, you know?
No, it's not my stomach. That's the alter ego of my stomach. my almost 15-year-old poodle named Chico.
That's what I love about these episodes. There's things that come up out of nowhere. Who would have thought we would have had a special appearance by a poodle named Chico?
Post-COVID life.
yeah. Cultura en vivo. Gallo Pinto. This is, for many Latin households, you know, Latino households. I mean, this huevo frito, queso, cuajada, maduro, aguacate. You know, this is rice and beans, fried eggs, cheese, sweet plantains, avocado. And cuajada is a softer cheese. And as she said, this is the complete breakfast, but this also, you switch some things around and you have yourself dinner. And that's ingenuity. That is, you know, growing up, if you know this in households, Latino households, this is it. Like, you switch things off and you're able to create another dish, just switching some ingredients off. What's your take on the Gallo Pinto clip?
Basics. Gallo Pinto, that's the basic. Rice and beans. Let's build from there. You know, we all had that. I mean, come on, in our houses, this is rice and beans are the base and everything else is the highlight of the day, you know, the star of the day kind of thing. Aguacate, you know, it's funny because for Brazilians, avocado was always used in a sweet end. Now that people are becoming a little bit more familiar with the Hass avocado to eat in a savory sense, you know, with guacamole and all that. But it wasn't something that popular in the savory end for us. For us, it was always vitaminas or avocado with azúcar, with just avocado and sugar, which is, my gosh, nowadays we're looking back. A little too rich to indulge it. But it was always on the sweet side. But it is. This is a meal. We call it PF, prato feito in Brazil, that we have a name for it too. Rice and beans, some vegetables, some meat, and a little salad, and that's it. That's the prato feito.
Yeah, and the substitutes, I love how she threw that in. Then you substitute it for dinner, you have some chicharrones, some fried pork skin, rinds, chicken, meat, I mean, carne, beef. I mean, you really can do a lot. And this is a dish that's remixed. I feel like it's like the remix every single day. But heavy, like, I mean, I'm used to eating breakfast now, very light, fruit, maybe a little, always aguacate. I have aguacate for breakfast, a little spread on some rice cakes or wheat bread and little cafecito, some fruit. That's my breakfast. But sometimes, yeah, like when you want to have that nice, heavy breakfast, this is, I've had this desayuno completo and you're good. Like, you don't even want to eat lunch. You're good until dinner time. As you've noticed, I think there's a little key observation. She talked about breakfast and dinner. There was nothing about lunch.
Nothing between, because you can't handle it. You're full. You're good.
Yes. No, Carolina, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Definitely, man, my stomach is playing the congas.
Mi gente. I got the olive oil warming up in the pan ready to fry some tostones, maduros, and plantain chips. Rice and beans on deck with a little chicken, and of course, aguacate. I appreciate you taking time out to listen, and don't forget to show love. Rate, review, follow, like, subscribe, and share. You can find the show on every major podcast platform. Keep the feedback coming via the comments section, email, and DMs. Share your favorite recipe while you're at it. Special thanks to Edgardo Miranda Rodriguez, Daniel Figueredo, Carolina Espina, my co-host Renata Sampaio, Santiago Ramones Andiere, and DJ Andre Jones for your support on the intro. Tune in next week for more delicious conversations. And remember, it's all about the... aguacate. Dímelo.